how many schools, even starting at the front counter, at the front desk, have a way to initiate a panic alarm?
Not a lot.
Not a lot. If you had things set up, historically, schools had an intercom system in it. Mm-hmm. From any room in the building, you could press a button, and you were connected to the front office.
Hardwired.
Hardwired, right? Hold on. But you pressed the button, physical button on the wall, and it connected you directly to the front office, and someone responded right then and there, right? And they were able, front office, how can I help you, right? We had a panic button of sorts installed going back to our childhood.
Yeah.
Right? That was always there. Even the kids knew how to operate it in the event of an emergency. And that was always there. If a hardwired panic button was, you know, under the counter of the front desk, right, at each
at
one of
minimum.
The workstation, at a minimum.
Yeah.
We've checked the box. And, well, and it works every time.
You check the
it's
box,
plugged in,
but you're also
there.
Paying attention to statistical behaviors in these particular types of events. The majority of these events occur either outside,
right.
62%,
right
or right
the
there
lobby.
In the front vestibule lobby.
Yeah.
So, but having the ability to have that
so,
is key.
So where did we go wrong? Right, so let's go.
We went wrong with a capitalist society.
Hold on,
where we
hold
have
on. I'm about to break it down for
shit.
You. I'm gonna break it down for you.
Okay.
So, these big intercom systems for school were proprietary in nature. Right, there was different brands. They were all hardwired back to a central cabinet, typically in the front office. And a lot of those businesses, those brands that have been around for 30, 40, 50 years of doing school intercom, they had gone out of business. Right. And so there was this decaying piece of technology that's there. There was no life cycle. It was never, ever, ever on a life cycle thing. I mean, we have been in schools where the intercom system is 40, 50,
garbage.
60 years old, right? Has had zero upgrades, right? And so then insert IT staff. Well, we're upgrading to a new phone system.
Yeah.
Let's just put a phone in every classroom.
Yeah, phone in every classroom. Right.
Right.
And I'm not, you know, it is what it is.
So here's the challenges with that. Typically, there's a code on the phone in order to use it so that students don't pick it up, dial long distance, don't abuse the phone.
Don't
right?
get on there
so,
and so, PA the whole school.
So nobody can pick up that phone and operate it, even to call the front office in most cases that we've observed. The speaker on a desktop phone typically cannot overpower the ambient noise in a classroom. If a teacher knocks a handset off the thing, phone's inoperable,
ineffective,
right, at that point. So it doesn't work for mass communications. It's something that is not there. So then we don't have a means of communication, right? And you know, we audit under law nationwide every single year at a minimum, every fire alarm system in a school has to go through an inspection process.
Why not a PA system?
Why not a PA system?
That's
right.
That's, you know.
And so we talk about how all the time there's a direct connection. You can make an assimilation to why has there not been any fire fatalities in a school?
I think since 1953, I believe.
So why? Because after that, we put in regulations, we put in mandated systems with design criteria, we train how to get out of the building when the alarm goes off, and those systems are inspected every year, and when they have a problem, they generate a trouble code where someone has to respond to it and fix it.
Within a certain period of time.
With a certain period of time.
I mean, some don't. We know a few.
But that's the only system that is regulated like that, right? And how, why can't, I mean, it's not hard to figure this out. It's not hard to figure it out. It's like, you know, people trying to figure out why is Bucky's gas station successful? They have a Guinness World Book of Records for it. They tell you, they put it on billboards. They have the cleanest restrooms.
You're right about that.
Right, that's how it started, right? Yeah. But somehow other gas stations have the nastiest gas station in that bathrooms, right?
Wow.
Like this isn't rocket science.
Yeah.
Mass communication. I need to be able to communicate. So then let's move into the digital world, right? If you replace these old analog intercom systems and you go to an IP, still keeping a hardwired button on the phone or on the wall, not only do you now have the ability to press the button to call the front office, which could ring to a SIP phone, right? But now you can do advanced triggers. So I'm going to press and hold that button, and it's going to do an advanced function. Send an email, make an outbound call, call 911, trigger a page across all of the administrator and law enforcement mobile devices. It exists, and it goes on the wall. It's hardwired.
It creates a standard throughout every building.
Every substitute teacher knows where it is, as well as the teacher.
They don't have to worry about a body-worn bullshit device.
And what happened? So all these companies swoop in, see this, and say, I have a way to do it. So let's dump into this. Now you get into silent panic alarms. How do you roll out a silent panic alarm? Well, you have to run cabling to gateways. Each gateway has a certain radius of coverage. Mm-hmm. So that means you litter the hallways full
with
of
gateways.
This.
Yep.
More switchgear, more cabling, more IT resource to manage it. Switches are not cheap, okay? Then you buy these devices, which are battery operated, okay? Who's monitoring how often those batteries are replaced?
Well, the company is.
Right. Okay, so we're putting our lives in their hands now?
Yeah.
Okay, so then now we're gonna wear them all the time. They get destroyed. They get tore up.
They get lost. They get put in the wrong
Initially, all the teachers, we've seen this, they all wear them. They do a really great job
until
first
about
few weeks.
February.
Absolutely. Then they less and less. Then they're in the desk drawer. Now an emergency event happens. Wait a minute,
It's in their purse.
Right. And where are they? Oh, they're out on the playground.
Yeah.
Is there coverage on the playground?
Yeah, but here's the deal.
I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but the silent panic alarm, if you push the button three times, law enforcement's going to come when you have an issue, and then it's going to give you the exact location of that person, and then it's going to tie in your cameras, and it's going to go to the dispatch center, which is already understaffed, and then that dispatcher is going to stop answering 911 calls and stop dispatching 14 agencies that are going to be dispatching to that one location.
It's not real.
All for an event that's going to happen between 2 to 14 minutes on average.
It's not going to happen.
So those of you that are buying this stuff, talk to me before you buy this stuff. Let's talk about reality versus theory.
The reason why you're an expert on this specific topic is you got some of this technology deployed in an emergency center. And had boxes in your campuses that had it, and everything on the school side, let's say even if it was working, right, which is questionable, but let's say that it was, it had a whole nother piece which was in the dispatch office. They had to maintain it. And this required them to have a separate PC.
Yeah, they flat out said,
I'm not gonna do it. And so the dispatcher has to turn around and go over there. The dispatcher, they're already short-staffed, right? They're a government agency.
But in
it's
theory,
not like they
it works.
Haven't. It doesn't work.
But in theory, it does.
Well, in real world, it doesn't.
I know, but in theory, it does. So you need to buy it.
Then when we started really talking about this and digging in, said, let's go over to dispatch. Let's go see. And you ask the operators, hey, what's that machine over there do? What's that screen? I don't know.
I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
I'm answering phone calls.
Yeah,
I'm dispatching
I don't know. It's something
officers.
That they put over there. If anybody thinks that law enforcement is going to log in on their phone,
they're not.
An iPad,
they're not.
If they're going to get on their terminal and their control,
they're not.
Or a dispatcher is going to log in somewhere,
she or he is not.
It's not real.
It's
they
theory.
Have so much stuff
it's fairy
going
tale.
On.
Stop and buying it.
What's crazy about it is that many times these people have that are pushing this, that are signing off of it. Doing it, they've never been in a 911 center.
No.
Right?
These are the people that are developing these softwares based upon unproven theory are software engineers. They're not emergency management professionals. They're not security professionals. They're not law enforcement professionals. They are software engineers that have come up with theory that is not based in reality. Right? And so here's the deal. Yes, I know. I'm talking reality. I'm being very direct. If it hurts your feelings, again, just turn it off. But at the end of the day, you know, you're probably having buyer's remorse at this point. You know, I talked to an individual.
How many people do we
dude,
hear?
I was talking to a colleague yesterday who has one of these fancy systems, and he's like, oh, they're nice people. They're great. Great. I'm sure they are nice as long as your checks keep cashing.
And when he talked about that, how much was his annual check?
Well, I'm going to get to that. This is a second one, right? So I was talking to this other guy about the same company, and he says, well, here's the deal. The reality is this. This is what he said verbatim. The reality is this, is that, yes, in theory, this could work. But we don't use it for that. We use it for staff assist pretty much 95% of the time. We can do the same thing for literally a fraction of the cost installing a hardwired system where you don't have to worry about all the nonsense that comes with some of these others. And I'm not talking about one particular. I'm talking about multiple, right?
It doesn't require batteries.
It doesn't require batteries.
It's going
to work every time.
It doesn't wear out.
It creates a standard through all your campuses.
It doesn't have recurring expenses tied to it.
You're not having to worry about Wi-Fi.
Not one
or
bit.
Or LTE.
Not at all.
It's all wired in.
And it works.
Right?
Every time you process
it. But hey, we're crazy, right?
We're crazy.
Because initially, it might cost a little bit more money to install.
Yeah, but the other thing is, not only are you checking the box of the communications, which is how we got here. Right? How did the panic button come to? It came around because there was failure of comms. Go back to Sandy Hook, go back to Santa Fe, pull the fire alarm because there was no way
failure
to communicate.
Comms, right.
Right? It was comms. Over and over and over again, we talk about comms. How many times have we had a conversation with somebody who was passionate about gunshot detection systems? Right?
A lot.
And we go, You don't even have a way to communicate with people.
Yeah.
So even if the sensor goes off, how are you going to tell the occupants of the building that a sensor has detected something?
Everybody has sensors. It's called your ears.
Agreed. But right? What I'm saying is they have no way to communicate. And it's like one of those things that's basic. And we get pushed off so many times. We bring it up. And then you bring up over and over again after action report. No way, failure in communications, no way to communicate. And to think that you're going to rely on cell phones and all these apps that are on cell phones, how many schools have we been in that have zero cell service?
Zero cell service, not only that.
Zero GPS data.
But how does your administration force your employee to put a function or an application on
a
private... You know,
well,
phone,
and then what happens?
Right?
Like, let's say
what
you're
if
in
they
a
say
high
they
school.
Don't, what if they say, I'm not going to do
that? That's a problem.
That. Then what do you do?
Yeah.
Now you got a chink in your armor.
Yep.
Or maybe you have 20 chinks in your armor because 20 of your staff said, I'm not putting that on my phone.
Right.
So how effective are you, right?
Yep.
You know, so...
Well, then you turn around and say, okay, I'm going to take... And let's say that you do have cell coverage. You're one of the anomalies of schools that have pure cell coverage throughout your building. Now you've got this on the apps. Let's say that all of the teachers agreed. Let's just for argument's sake, right? They go ahead and do that. What happens anytime there's an event in a high school, let's say, even middle school for this point? All the kids pull out the phones.
Yep.
All the parents start calling in. That cellular data and volume traffic,
boom,
hits the
now
ceiling.
Now the cell towers are maxed out, right?
And
which
you
is
have
why
a teacher who's trying to receive a communication
or relay
information.
If there's a threat right in front of you.
And those comms means are 100% blocked. If you had an IP phones mass intercom system throughout the building, not only could you have comms there, but because it's SIP based. You can also communicate from another campus if you needed to in the event of an emergency.
But you know, how many contracts have we lost or bids have we lost to these companies who have gone in and they've made these crazy promises as far as functionality to these uneducated administrators or security directors
or security directors who
have no lick of security experience at all, anything right. Proactive in nature.
Or they have security, but they don't have IT and they don't really understand how the systems
work. Or they're just promoted from within. You know, they're, you know, no offense, but you know, they're an educator that, hey, we just need to fill this spot, right? There's no certification or standard. We'll get into that in a little bit. But how many times have we had to, you know, try to talk these individuals off this ledge of committing so much taxpayer dollars to a product that's unproven, and yet at the end of the day, we come up with simple, you know, reliable solutions.
Right.
And it's like, we're gonna chase this rabbit, right?
But
these companies are sitting back and they're licking their lips and they're going, man, we got them, right? We're gonna lock them into this 3-year agreement. I got another friend of mine who has one of these systems, had problems with it since day one. Absolutely seeking some legal advice on how they can get out for breach of contract. $1.5 million over a period of 3 years, okay?
Yep.
$1.5 million of taxpayer money. You know what we could have done with that money?
100%.
They don't even have the foundation in place, but yet you've got these slick salesmen coming in, selling you unproven products, and they're just licking their lips. You know what's even more disgusting than that?
What's that?
Is that these same companies are preying upon these individuals to make these uninformed decisions that are just going to line their pockets, not talking in practicality, and then you go to every conference USA and you see the same superintendents who those companies have paid for their way and their lodging and their steak dinner, and then they have that superintendent or that school security director out there demoing their product for free, serving as a salesperson or a promotional person.
100%.
That's disgusting.
It is.
It's disgusting.
And it doesn't work.
Stop it.
It doesn't work.
I'm saying stop it, not to the companies, because you're going to keep doing it. I'm saying stop it to the administrators and the school security directors. Stop being their spokespeople unless they're giving you something of value, right? Show me where their product has actually worked. Show me in Columbine where some of these things would have worked. Or like I said, the Pennsylvania Amish, or the Parkland, or Sandy Hook, or Santa Fe, or Uvalde, or Buffalo, New York. Tell me where any of those things would have worked.
Right.
They wouldn't have.
In contrast, there is actionable data where things didn't work, right? Where systems didn't perform in the event of an emergency, right? The problem is you have to get back down to basics. And we've already talked about how, you know, silent panic alarms, they don't make sense, right? But it comes back to being proactive, right?
Versus reactive.
A panic button is a reactive device. A law enforcement officer is a reactive device. What are you doing today in your school to be proactive? What systems, what processes, what training are you putting in place to make a difference proactively?
I will tell you this. Let's say that you have a $1.5 million contract for one of these systems. You could take $500,000. You could take that same budget over a period of 3 years. You could cut that in half, hire 2 or 3 behavioral analysts to sift through your data that you already have to be able to determine the 7 early warning and detection signs of someone in crisis in your data that already exists. It's work. It's hard.
It is.
But the risk of saving a life. But the risk of saving a life is worth it.
It is.
You know, but we want simple, we want easy. The details lie in the data, folks. And if you're not sifting through your data, you don't have a tool or a person to do that, you're way behind the curve. But the evidence is right in front of you. And that's where we have to get to, right there, is proactiveness. No silent panic alarm is ever going to be able to decipher data to tell you who's in crisis based upon, you know, decline in attendance, decline in academic performance over a certain period of time, substance abuse, alcohol abuse.
Social separation.
What's that?
Social separation.
Discipline increase. There's no silent panic alarm that's going to bring that value to you. So start sifting through your own data. It's right there. The answers are right there. You know, when I was at TCISD, Dr. Holly Cowan, who's at Crandall ISD, love her to death, sat down with her out of all our administrators. She was doing that. And, you know, the crazy thing is that she didn't want to talk about it because she's like, I don't want people to think that I'm profiling our kids. You're not profiling your kids. And those that argue that it's profiling, I would say that you're profiling them every day based upon their discipline or their intellectual disabilities. You're profiling them to determine whether they're 504 or SPED. Why not look at their discipline or their behavioral patterns to be able to tell if they're in crisis, if they want to commit suicide.
How do
it's
you
the same
how
thing.
How are you profiling somebody about somebody who either comes to school or they don't? I don't.
People will make it be whatever they want it to be.
I agree.
But what I will tell you, stop listening to that noise. Dig into
imagine
the data.
Imagine the lives that you save, right?
Man.
How much is that worth? Versus somebody saying that you're profiling my kid because he's missed so many days of school, right? It's increasing this month.
Could there be false positives? Of course. I mean, hell, my daughter's, top 5% of her class. She's got a full academic and athletic scholarship to play soccer next year. She's late to school every day, right? Every single day she's late, but...
But that's also her.
Right. That's just my daughter. But you can't look at one factor.
It's a multifaceted approach,
It's a multitude of factors that you have to be able to cognitively put together and ask yourself, is this kid in crisis based upon these multiple factors? Have they exhibited these signs and symptoms? Do they have the means, the capability, and the intent? That's what we use at the Secret Service. That's the question I always ask myself. When I'm sitting across from someone who wants to kill the president or someone else, does this person have the means, capability, and intent? If it's yes to all three, then yeah, we have to intervene. If it's okay, yeah, maybe he has the intent, but he doesn't have the means or the capabilities. He's in a wheelchair or she's in a wheelchair. They can't, There's some limitations here. Those are the things that you have to be doing, right? So with that said, we'll cut it off at that, but...
Let's put this in a bow, right?
Yeah.
Stop buying the bullshit, right?
Yeah.
Use true, tried, tested systems. Don't just, take a reference from somebody else. We were at a school board meeting where a school was going down this road and we brought it to their attention.
Oh, yeah.
And the deciding factor of that school board was, well, we have to trust our people. We know that they wouldn't make a wrong decision. So even though you have brought this fact-based stuff, we are going to trust our people and we're going to go ahead and buy it anyway.
Facts. Documented facts that we brought to them.
Correct.
Over a series or a period of time. But at the
doesn't
end
matter.
Of the day, it's like, we're going to trust our person. Okay, that's fine. I get that. You got to support your people, but you also need to know their capabilities as well.
Correct.
Have they done this before?
And
in that
what
case,
I don't understand
the answer
is
no.
When someone takes the time, which it takes a lot of time, you have to go... Usually you have to cram all of this information in front of a school board in a matter of minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Literally 2-3 minutes.
2-3 minutes.
Tops. And you're trying to come back over. And they are making a 2, 3, 5, 10, 20 million dollar decision. And you lay out facts. You provide a booklet and say, here are the facts. This is why this is a bad decision. You should look at it. As a school board member, how do you don't say, well, let's put a pin in this for right now.
Well, you have a duty
and let's
and
do
an
both. Interview, or let's have some our own research.
Collect
let's dig
data.
In this a little bit more data
yeah.
before we just sign off on all this taxpayer
because
money.
Because they're reckless with taxpayer money. It's not their money.
Well, I honestly think school boards get a bad rap
because they get a packet
and it's nice and polished and they put it in front of here and go, okay, here's what we're gonna do.
Yeah, but
we
I
just
know
need
some
you to
of
do
them
that.
That get that. I know some of them that get that packet on Thursday. And we meet on Tuesday, and they have never even put eyes on that packet to be able to dig down. I read every single word in my packet because I wanted to make sure that I was fulfilling my oath to the taxpayer.